Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Thanks for coming on with us this morning. TD, there's obviously a lot to get to leading up to the NFL draft. I want to start with the A.J. Brown situation. Deebo Samuel requesting a trade from San Francisco. There's the Instagram live audio from apparently Deebo's mom that's been out there about negotiations between the Titans and A.J. Brown. What do you make of this whole situation, and what do you make of the ever-changing wide receiver market? It feels like every week it changes at this point, TD.
Yeah, there's a lot to sort through with that. I think really it comes down to A.J. Brown wanting a new contract. And for me, what he should probably do is just wait, because here's what's going to happen. You have three guys, well, actually four, right? A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf. They're going to be getting deals in the near future, and each deal is going to set the floor for the next one. So if you go ahead and sign a deal now, you know, you look at the deal for the last of the four, it's going to be a lot more than the first of the four. So I think really it's just a matter of some posturing and trying to get the deal. But I'm not sure that it's the right way to go about it. But, hey, I mean, this is his business and his contract, so I wish him the best. But I think it could be done a little bit more tastefully.
So do you feel like it's just a matter of, you know, he's obviously same agent, Torrey Dandy, you know, with Deebo and AJ, and I don't know if this is, like, intended to push publicly like this, all of this stuff. Some of the tweets have been kind of cryptic. Do you feel like this is just, like you said, more in the realm of posturing, or do you feel like there is a possibility that they're just going to be too far apart on this, and should the Titans feel more urgency with the draft coming up?
I definitely feel there's a chance that they're going to be too far apart. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past either side. You know, if $20 million is the max that the Titans want to do, and that's not what A.J. Brown and his camp want, then, you know, they're just going to be apart, and it wouldn't surprise me. You look at some of the deals, you know, D.J. Moore's deal is a good one to work off of, but, you know, that average per year deal is – like, that's just a fictionary number, you know. So I think at the end of the day, they'll get something worked out. But when it comes to the draft, either way, they're going to need to add receivers to the group, just because, you know, that's a place where they're lacking. And you have a guy who's the legit number two or 1A receiver in Robert Woods, but he still has to work his way back from injury. So, yeah, I mean, I would look at a receiver in the first round for sure and throughout the draft.
TD, what stood out to you the most yesterday with the press conference with J-Rob and Mike Vrabel?
There were a few things. You know, they went into detail about a couple of players that they like in Zion Johnson and Kenyon Green, but I think the thing that stood out the most to me was when Coach Vrabel said that Ryan Tannehill still isn't there. That was kind of I figured, okay, maybe he'll miss the first day and then he'll be in the building. He's not there. It is voluntary, but it just stood out to me that, you know, the quarterback isn't there for those workouts. And just like Coach Vrabel said, you know, all NFL coaches want everybody there, but they have to respect each guy's personal situation. And, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and kill Ryan Tannehill about it, because who knows, it could be a very serious situation. It could be very necessary that he is not in the building, and that's something that we may find out at some point, but they do expect him there.
Another thing that stood out to me, TD, was, you know, we know that Vrabel – usually keeps it pretty low-key, doesn't like to especially get too much into, like, individual players, things like that, good or bad. But it sounded to me pretty optimistic from him on the Caleb Farley front. What did you make of that, and how important could that be? And how might that even dictate the draft? I've, you know, obviously I look at tackle in this draft as maybe a commentary on Dylan Raidens. I still think they need to add corner depth, but if they can, if they are feeling better and better about him being able to come out and be that third corner this year, that's got to be big for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned that because I remember when John Robinson was speaking about Caleb Farley and he stopped and someone was about to ask another question and then Coach Vrabel intervened. You know, so his endorsement of Caleb Farley was unprovoked, right? You know, and he said that he won the award for the quiz that they did. And then he also said that he was light years ahead of where he was at the end of last season. So that's a really good sign. And I would imagine releasing Jackrabbit Jenkins is another indictment, you know, as far as where they stand with him. Now, you mentioned drafting guys. I mean, you got Zion McCollum, Josh Williams. These are a couple, you know, day three guys that they could pick. But remember, Buster Skrine is in the mix, and they really like him. So I think it's definitely possible that they add some depth in the at the quarterback position, though.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, on with us here on Robbie and Rexro. So, TD, we are finally almost here to draft time, and we've talked so much with you about the guards and the wide receivers, all these different things. I want to ask you about the running back position. We see the workouts coming from Derrick Henry on Instagram. Looks to me like he's going to be fine. But there is, you know, Darrington Evans has moved on at this point. You've got Dontrell Hilliard back in the fold. Do you think that that's something that they could take a look at as they get into maybe day two or three of the draft at the running back position?
Yeah, for sure. It's something they could look at. But don't forget Jordan Wilkins also. Yep. You know, he's a pretty good player. He runs hard and he fits that, you know, loves the ball moniker that Coach Vrabel and John Robinson want. So that's a guy. But as far as draft, I do think, you know, day two, probably day three, you look at a guy like Isaiah Pacheco out of Rutgers. You know, he's 6 feet, 5'11", 6 feet, you know, 217 pounds. He ran a 4.37, and he's a home run hitter, and he's a power runner. So he's someone I could see them picking. I know they were at his pro day at Rutgers. In fact, the running backs coach, Tony Dews, conducted the workout. So I could definitely see him as a guy.
I want to go back on Raidens, TD. I mean, it's you know, good for PK. Gave it a try yesterday on the, you know, specify his position. But we had Dave Beauclair on earlier, and I mean, I agree with him. I think it's pretty clear, you know, that they want him to be the right tackle. That's the intent. Mm-hmm. That was the intent when they drafted him. At this point, how much do you think they could, like, how certain either way could they be on him going into this draft? I'm asking that poorly, but, like, how much information could be available to them just based on, obviously, you have last season, then you have, you know, his work with the strength staff, his workouts in the offseason, things like that. There's conversations, there's things like that behind the scenes, but how certain do you think that they could be right now that he is going to be able to do that? And what do you think about him based on all you've seen and heard with Dylan Raidens as this team's starting right tackle?
I feel as though they believe he could be the starting right tackle. And the launching point for me watching it was the 49ers game where he finally got a chance to play. Did well against Nick Bosa. Obviously, that was with some help. But I think that was a good launching point. Now, he worked so much at guard last year, especially in training camp. So it was almost like they were kind of giving him an audition there. I personally feel that he's better suited to play right tackle just because of the strength side of things. Whereas when you're at guard, man, you're dealing with, you know, you look no further than the other side of the ball, Jeffrey Simmons, excuse me. You're dealing with those types, you know, and it takes a lot more strength and being able to anchor. Whereas at tackle, you know, you're dealing with more finesse types. And I think that fits what Dylan Raidens, his skill set and his ability, I think that fits better. So for me, I would have him at right tackle. Now, there have been people that said that, you know, he is more comfortable working on the left side, but I think he'll be fine at right tackle.
Well, TD, it's going to be interesting. The draft next week. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning and hope you have a great weekend.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what TD had to say there. Take more of your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Teron Davenport for joining us in the last segment. We'll be joined by the legendary Terry Crisp coming up at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on a special weekend for him last week and also the Preds as they take on the Lightning and the Wild this weekend as well. So looking forward to Terry Crisp coming up at 8:30. Call Your Shot Friday at 8:45. So lots to get to left here on this hour. Right now, taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in says, at this point, I think Radins is going to be the right tackle. I think if the plan was different, they would have already signed someone. I just don't see them using their first or third round pick on a tackle when they need a wide receiver and a guard. This coming from Matt from Camden.
You may be right. You may be right. But, you know, not signing someone could also mean they've got their eyes on someone in the draft. Pennington from Northern Iowa. You know, I don't know. Wait, is it Penny? Is it Penny or Pennington? Ah, dang it. By the way, it was Tyler Linderbaum from earlier.
From Beauclair?
Beauclair, yeah.
You mean, he's going like Billy Joel on us. You may be wrong for all I know, but you may be right.
Yeah, there you go. Good line.
Thank you. Big Billy Joel guy here.
It's amazing.
Glass houses.
You have good musical tastes, and then you think the Beatles stink. It's just amazing stuff.
Is that my Toonsist take? Just right off the side?
Yeah, exactly. You're fine. And then but I mean, look, right now, well, let's see. I think my last mock. And I got another mock, one more mock to go.
Oh, yeah, come on, get it in there.
Well, actually, two more mocks to go because we have to do everyone going in on a mock, which could involve trades. And
so
then
you mean
also
to tell me that last year I set the over-under at 3.5 and you didn't do it, and I didn't set it this year and you will do 4 now?
Well, but see, I guess does it count? Does it count if I just take part in one that everyone's doing? I don't know that that really counts, does it?
Oh, it counts.
Okay, well, then I'm hitting the over. And then maybe last year I did more than I said then. You know what I mean?
So, now we've got to go investigate.
Yeah, we may have to relitigate that one too. But I think I had yeah, interior offensive lineman and receiver for the first and third. So I'm predicting what you say too, but I'm not convinced in it. You know, I'm not convinced that, because again, you do, if there's someone you absolutely love, you're like, this is going to be a great tackle for the Tennessee Titans. And I understand, folks, they said that about Isaiah Wilson. They said that last year about Dylan Radins. And we don't know yet about Dylan Radins. But, you know, point taken, right? I mean, they haven't done well so far with the offensive line drafting of late. But you still have to go about it that way. And if you believe you got someone, you are still also thinking about down the road. Because Taylor Lewan's not going to be your starting left tackle for too much longer.
You brought up an interesting comment, I thought, yesterday from Mike Vrabel about Caleb Farley. And TD talked about it in the last segment, too. But it was an interesting kind of exchange. John Robinson's answering a question, and then Mike Vrabel basically, you know, interjects himself in there about Caleb Farley. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday about the Titans' first-round pick from last year.
Had a good first week. I'll tell you that. He's, you know, I mean, just to touch on that, had a really good first week. Light years ahead of where he ended. So not only just rehab, but just from a mental perspective and just being in those meetings and, you know, having him ask, answer questions, and I'm not going to say who he beat, but he won the quiz competition today. So I'm not going to tell the other guys that he beat, but he did a nice job.
So that was Vrabel talking about Caleb Farley, saying he's light years ahead of where he was when he ended the season, not only in terms of rehab, but the mental side of the game as well, and apparently did well in the quiz competition. I don't know. I'm totally reading into this, but he did say, I'm not going to say who he beat. And the first person I thought of was Kevin Byard. That's the first person I thought of.
That's a good point. I guess I thought of Christian Fulton.
Maybe.
But because no one's beaten Kevin Byard, right?
I don't. That's just what I thought.
But maybe the fact that he said that, like, yeah. I'm not going to say that, that makes it – so in your mind, that made it seem like it was like
he just
really
took down
impressive.
Somebody. Yeah, yeah.
Like he took down a big dog. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Wow.
Robbie, I thought the same thing on that one.
Yeah.
Interesting. I just
look, I have no inside knowledge. That's just what I thought.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Is it – I mean, is that particular quiz, I assume that that's specific to DBs. Or
I would assume.
Is it specific to the corner position?
Could
or
be.
Is it the whole defense? If that's the case, maybe he took down Jeff Simmons. Or,
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Jeff Simmons isn't there.
No.
Why aren't we talking about that all the time? Why aren't we mad about that?
Leadership.
but, yeah, no, the fact that he decided, hey, like TD said, by the way, I want to give a comment on this. I'm not even asked, and he jumped in and
yeah.
said it. So, again, Farley is, to me, the number one returning player, okay, other than Tannehill, the number one returning player storyline. But even with Tannehill, I expect him to be good this year in the regular season. I don't know exactly what he'll be, but, you know, Tannehill has a track record. You have a general idea of what Tannehill is. It's the most important position, so fine, he's number one. But Farley's number two because we just don't know, and it's such a big deal. If you lock up, if you cement that position, and now you've got Molden, Farley, Fulton, with everything else you have on defense, I mean, you got a chance to be on a real short list of best defenses in the NFL.
Caleb, maybe Farley, on the text line, says, I feel like you don't if you don't have a top 10 pick, you should wait and get offensive line in the later rounds. And I heard Joe say Farley would be the third corner. Who are the top two if Farley isn't? Well, you've got Fulton and then Molden.
Well, Molden's your slot corner.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, base defense anymore is with three corners.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing with three corners a ton. So your outside corners are Farley. I mean, Farley is designated to take Jack Rabbit or Janoris Jenkins' outside corner spot opposite Fulton. Molden is your slot corner. And now you're talking about three young players on rookie deals who could be really good. I think Molden is also a guy who I bet you he takes a jump this year. I mean, I think there's way more good than bad last year. He looked like a rookie at times. And, I mean, you're just going to get beat at that position at times in the NFL. But
he got way better as the season went
on.
Yeah,
I bet you that's going to be a pick that looks better and better for them.
I think so, too. Man, look, if you can get Farley in there, I mean, obviously they saw something with him in terms of his physical ability that they loved, which is why they selected him where he did. And I think you brought this up with TD, and I agree. Like, Vrabel doesn't usually go out of his way one way or the other to really just heap praise on someone or say anything negative about somebody. He's very much about the team. But it was interesting that he wasn't even asked about Caleb Farley yesterday. John Robinson was, and then Vrabel just kind of jumped in there. Like, that tells me that he likes what he's seen from Caleb Farley.
Now, granted, sometimes in situations like that, yeah, you know, like a coach, like, well, maybe the like a public vote of confidence is good or something like that. You know, you never know. But I don't think Vrabel's not really, you know, I don't think he really thinks that way or tries to like use the media or whatever to send messages. So sounds like there's some genuine excitement, and that's just a big deal. Big deal number one, way beyond everything else, is just his health.
Yeah,
but I mean, Vrabel made it clear, you know, mentally in terms of grasping everything. I mean, he said in Indy, it's like it's so much about him being in the playbook and using this time to get as much mastery of the D as possible. Kevin Byard said last year at move out day, you know, he's going to be a project of mine. You know, Caleb Farley, you can't ask for a better like mentor leader in terms of here's how you get into the details of the game to give you an edge. You can't have anybody better than Byard.
Maybe he shared too much, took him down in the quiz.
Maybe he did. It's like Darth Vader and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
You know?
Spoiler alert.
Do you get that one, Michelle? Michelle's not even listening to us anymore. Tuned us out.
No, I was editing something.
Oh, you're trying to do your job in there? Oh,
stop it.
Geez. I don't watch the Star Wars. Was that it?
Yeah, I made a Star Wars reference. Obi-Wan and...
By the way, Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
May 25th.
I do know that, though. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
There you go. Nice. Kenobi, the show, Kenobi,
yeah.
25th?
Yeah. May 25th.
Second season?
First season.
Oh. Why did I think that was already out?
I don't know.
Ewan McGregor, right? Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, too much good stuff.
That's right. But, no, I think the Farley part of this, look, at the end of the day, we're going to find out a lot more in training camp because, when you know, there's a difference between working out in the off season and then lining up across from A.J. Brown and seeing what happens there. I mean, obviously.
Titans fans hope he's lining up across from A.J. Brown.
Hopefully A.J. Brown's there for Caleb Farley to line up against in training camp. But, you know, it's going to come down to what's on the field. We've talked about our concerns of, you know, the injury part of it's one thing, but it's also he's not really played much cornerback. So I would imagine the learning curve for him may have been a little steeper than it was for others who have played cornerback for a long time. He basically had 1 year at cornerback at Virginia Tech, and then he was hurt, and then he was in the NFL. So not a ton of experience playing that position at all, regardless of the level of football.
Right. And, you know, yesterday there were questions. Again, Jared asked many 2019 questions.
Yes, he did.
You know, the idea, and this is, these questions have been asked before, but what did you do in 2019 that you didn't do the last two? Obviously, that was the last really not COVID-affected draft, right? But, you know, Robinson's answer was, we picked the good guy. We picked the right player. Same process. But, you know, Farley and Raidens still have the – I mean, we may end up, and the tight sure hope this is the case, looking back at everything, and 2020 stands out as the bad draft.
Yeah,
2020's not – I mean, it's not going to be a good draft. You know, Fulton – it was a nice find.
But even if he's a great player, you're talking about your first-round pick and your third-round pick being nothing
right
for you.
But this last draft, right now we look at it like, gosh, it's been two straight years of rough drafts. Well, tell you what, if Raidens is your starting right tackle and is at least serviceable, and then Farley is a good starting corner, then all of a sudden, yeah, 2020 stands alone.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Terry Crisp coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up tomorrow on the road. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Geico 500 at Talladega Super Speedway. Also, you can get set for the race with Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe every Sunday at 8 o'clock. On 102.5 The Game. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary Terry Crisp, brought to you by Copper Branch. Eat, think, change. Crispy, what's going on? How are we doing?
Come on, guys. Just wonderful today so far. Beautiful sunny day out, and getting ready for a big tilt tomorrow night down in Tampa. And I see the Lightning took Toronto to the woodshed last night and put the wood to them. They 8-1. So hopefully they used up all their goals against Toronto and didn't save any against us. Got a little help. I see where the Flames took to Dallas 4-2, so that helps. Minnesota's taking Vancouver out of the race. L.A.'s still alive, so, yep, it's still, the race is still on.
Yeah, there's no question about that. The standings are quite interesting as the Preds head into the game tomorrow against Tampa Bay. Crispy, before we get into that, I'm just curious, just now that it's done and it's over with and you've had some time to think about it, what was last weekend like for you, just to be back with Pete and obviously the ceremony itself, just everything that went into last week? What are kind of your thoughts and emotions on the week that was for you?
You know, Sheila and I have been sitting here because all of our Canadian friends just left and whatnot, our family, and we were going over, we said, it's sort of unbelievable. It was, when we first started, I don't want to use the word embarrassing, but when you're retiring, you know, you always want to quietly go in the sunset and whatever. And then suddenly the Predators, the class organization that they are, decided, no, Crispy, we want to have some fun with it. We want you to have some fun with your last, with radio with Pete, TV with Pete. Took us up to Calgary, took us to Philly, taking us to Tampa, Shield Night, to revisit the haunts that I either played in or coached in. It's been unbelievable. And the past week has been unreal. And I said to Sheila, you know, when you sit down and you look over all the 24 years here, the one word that jumps up into our minds, Sheila and I, is both is class. How class the Predators organization has been from the first game till to now, and I don't see any that changing for this organization. But it's been, and I'm going to use this word, when we started, I was a little leery, but it's been fun. Totally fun for Sheila and I.
So Crispy, you know, I appreciate you and Lindsay letting me hang out the other night watching that game with you. I had a lot of fun, some things I can't repeat. But
I was going to say, did you scribble out those ones I told you to scribble out in your notebook?
I mean, at the Athletic, we can use
Rexy,
the...
Rexy, what happens on the concourse stays on the concourse.
That's right. That's right. I mean, the Athletic, we can use swear words, but maybe not that colorful of swear words. But I gotta say,
I didn't know you had such big eyebrows. You lifted this so many times.
But it was interesting contrast because I so much enjoyed listening to you and Pete, and you were calling the Blues game. You know, little bit of a rough second period. It's amazing, like the composure, right? That you have to kind of turn the switch on and off when you're going from in front of the microphone to off, right? Like, what was that experience like for you?
But the one thing you learn is, and I laughed when I went up and sat with Pete Weber for our first go-round on the radio the night on the Saturday night game. When I got up, we got up to the booth and we were kibitzing. I looked down, there's this big sheet of paper, and our production man, Bob Horner, had put, "Crispy, please remember, rule number one, the mic is always hot." And I was starting to laugh, but that set the tone for the whole night for Pete and I. But Bob's been with us from day one of Horner, and he knows us, and he left this big sign on the desk. So that set the tone.
No question about it. Bob is an absolute legend. So, Crispy, obviously, it was a big win for the Predators against Calgary the other night. You know, we had Dan Lambert on, says that's probably the best game they've played in a while in terms of the game on Tuesday against Calgary. What do you make of where the team is, how they're playing as they head into a big one tomorrow against Tampa Bay and then back on Sunday against Minnesota?
I'm going to use that Calgary game, as you just said, Rick, about our litmus test. And if we play like that and get better in a couple of little areas, we're going to be fine. That's our game. Our game is going to the body, taking the man, not stupid, cheap, unwanted penalties, but playing the man when we should, fighting for the puck in the corner. And if anybody noticed, the lack of how many odd man rushes we allowed Calgary. And they're a good team, a good offensive team, a good counter team. And we did that by finally playing smart. We weren't pinching at the wrong time. We didn't expect our defensemen to be forwards the whole game. We didn't expect that our defensemen had to come down deep every rush. And our guys were back covering up. I thought defensively it was one of our best overall team games in a long time, looking after the things that we should have, and especially in our defensive zone. We were coming back. The guys were coming back hard. They were picking up a man. They were working in front of the net, taking Calgary away. So I take heart with that game. That's the game that I would keep that video to show the guys.
Crispy, we've been talking about these lines, and it's pretty clear, you know, Michael McCarron's coming back. Cody Glass sent back to Milwaukee. Just an interesting situation. You know, right now you're trying to get in the playoffs. Forsberg and Duchesne get put back together, but you've got, you know, other moving pieces. I mean, how do you look at the line situation? I guess where would you put Cunning? And then also, just from a coaching perspective, with a week left, still trying to get in, but also trying to get ready if you do get in, how do you view, like, the importance of kind of trying to stick with lines, or is it okay to just keep tinkering and just do what works on a particular night?
No, I'm going to be honest. My coaching things, I really don't give a damn. I'm going to tell the guys in the dressing room, whoever's working hard is going to play. And if I don't think you're up to standards, you're not playing. You're not dressing. We don't have time to soothe your feelings. We don't have time to mollycoddle you right now. Right now, we're in a race. And I'm telling you, and I'm looking at all of you guys. Now, having said that, you do know that certain guys are going to be in the game no matter what. But there's three or four guys that can move around or whatever. And if they're not getting the job done, you move them. And at this stage of the game, I don't care who you put with who out there. They all know each other. And Coach Hines is good at that. And he knows that he always keeps two guys together on any line. So if he has to break up a line, he will leave, say, Forsberg and Duchesne together and add a Granlund or whoever. And the same with the other one, with the herd line. He'll move one of them and leave the two of them together. So that way it had the one area where you don't want to juggle and you don't like to juggle is on the defense corps. You like to leave them as mates, the two, because they've only got the two guys to think with, themselves and Saros, of course. The forwards are otherwise you're up front and you're moving around and passing. But I think if you can get your six defensemen solid and playing in pairs, that's one of the keys.
Terry Crisp on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Crispy, we were talking about this the other day. Ekholm, after the Edmonton game, was talking about how they just couldn't establish their forecheck at all. And I thought they did, you know, a much better job of that against Calgary the other night. But this time of year, you mentioned being smarter earlier. How much of that comes down to just being smarter with the puck, too? Knowing when to enter the zone, knowing when to dump it in there and get in on the forecheck. It feels like with the way the Predators play, that's got to be a pretty big emphasis for them as they move forward.
It is. That's our game. We can't do like we've been doing the last little while, go back over a few of these last games. And there, we all thought we were Lone Rangers, and we're going to do it by ourselves. We're going to take the puck from our zone and wheel through our zone, through the neutral zone, get it in deep. No. Teams are too tough now. Teams are too good. We got to get back to head manning the puck. If you're ahead of me by 5 feet, I give it to you. And I go by you, you give it to me. And when we hit the neutral zone, and if we see that the blockade is there, we got to get it in deep. Why do we try a one-handed move with one hand on our stick, thinking we're going to beat the guys? The guys are too tough now. The other teams, they know us. So our game right now is to make sure that everything's going, like the coach says, north. If you're sitting in the south end, it's going north. And before the last game, we had too many turnovers in neutral zone, all because guys were being cute. And that includes the defensemen and the forwards that were trying to carry the puck through the neutral zone, losing the puck. And then what's the sense of me being a forward racing down the ice to make an attack, and then I got to stop at the blue line and wait to see if you're going to dilly-dally your way through the neutral zone so I can pick up speed again and go again? What good does that do me? I get a little tired of stopping going at the blue line. If we see the blockage there and I'm going and you can't make it, throw it in. I got a head of steam to arrive at the same time as their defenseman. So let's get on the same page here, guys. If I'm steamrolling, keep it going.
All right, Crispy. Colorado, Calgary. You know, if the Preds get in, it's one of those two. Is there a significant difference in your mind?
No. They're both good teams. They both play the same. They both have depth. They both have good goaltending. And they both play a tough hockey game with you. But you know what? I'm going to go back to, and if our team even thinks about this, the Hurricane series against the Hurricanes. We played great hockey. Like, we had them on the ropes, and they were one of the teams that was supposedly to win the Stanley Cup that year. And if you go back over our games, we played solid hockey against them. Why can't we repeat that again? That's what we're going to need against either Colorado or Calgary. It doesn't matter that both are the same teams. We'll have to play, obviously, above and beyond. But, again, against the Hurricanes, we showed we're capable of it.
Well, Crispy, I hope you enjoyed last week. I wasn't on the show last Friday, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but it's been cool. I mean, you and Pete were on TV together when I was 6 years old. I'm now 29, hosting a radio show.
You had to get that dig in there, dude.
I did have to get the dig in there, but it's been cool just growing up watching you two do hockey games and then getting to be around you. It's been such a fun journey. Love you, and just hope you had a good time last week.
Thank you guys for everything so much. And like I said, Sheila and I are not going to disappear. We're going to stay here. We love Nashville. We're going to be here. And as for that, working with Pete has been just like a wonderful journey for me. I couldn't have found a better partner, or they couldn't have found a better partner for me. So, and for you guys, hey, thanks for having me on, fellas, because I've always enjoyed it, convincing with you. And anyways, we'll see you all at the rink and in the playoffs. Just tell our fans, which they've done now for 24 years, bring the passion.
That's right. Terry Crisp, ladies and gentlemen, joins us every Friday morning at 8:30 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow. They'll take on Minnesota coming up on Sunday as well. It is time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your submissions, your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. The NBA playoffs are here, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay every single week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win, and FanDuel has so many ways to play. Best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. The Miami Heat taking on the Atlanta Hawks tonight in Game 3. The Heat have smoked Atlanta so far. Give me the Heat on the money line. Give me Jimmy Butler over on points as well. But you can take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with promo code Rob. Once again, that promo code is Rob. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Days Delta 8, the highest quality standard of Delta 8. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezvik, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning. We'll take your called shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday? I did not have called shots last week, so how did you and Michelle do?
Chase jumped in. Chase jumped in and called some shots, too. So let's see. I said Matt Duchene will be the first to reach 40.
Ooh.
But I said it'll be versus Chicago. So it's like half right.
He got one goal against Chicago.
That's right. That's right. He got to 39. Yep. And then, of course, he got 40 against Calgary. I said Steph Curry will come off the bench, score 20 for Golden State on Saturday in a rout of Denver. And I believe I was absolutely right.
He had 30. But, yeah.
I said Tennessee baseball, which just had a 23-game streak broken by Tennessee Tech. The Vols will rip off 11 in a row before losing. They lost that night, of course, to Alabama, and then said Alabama was going to eat it or taste it or whatever, and then beat Alabama soundly the next two games. And so we'll see, but I was wrong. And Jeff Fisher's Michigan Panthers will kick 5 field goals in their opener. I think they kicked – no, they didn't kick 4. No. I thought it was 4, but it was 2 with a missed extra point, so – better luck next time. More field goals, please. Chase said, dirt race at Bristol coming up Sunday. Daniel Suarez will get the win. He did not. It was, I think it was Harvick, right?
Yeah.
He said Forsberg will get the 2 to reach 40 over the weekend. That didn't happen. And long term, said Matt Olson will have more homers than Freddie Freeman this year. So some Braves fandom still stinging over the loss of Freeman.
Yeah.
But Olson can hit him out. Michelle said Grizzlies will win by 12. Ja Morant triple-double. Of course, the Grizzlies lost that game. That's a big key for me in weekend winners versus you guys. Preds, both games are shutouts in honor of Terry Crisp. A little bit off on that one.
A little bit off.
Gave up a touchdown in the second quarter of one of those games.
I did.
And then the White Sox. God, you're... This
the
Ryan.
White Sox and Bulls.
Stop rooting for Ryan's teams. You know what? He can be your boyfriend. You don't have to adopt his teams. I'm getting pissed by this.
But come here's on, the thing. It. When I get a reaction out of you, it just makes me want to do it even more.
That is true.
White
I'm
Sox.
Never watching Office Space. Ever.
No, you're hurting your own life, okay? Hey, Peter, Channel 2! Oh, God. Lines of that movie keep coming through to me, man. Turn to Channel 2, Peter! All of you know what I'm talking about.
Not me. Michelle, would you like to kick us off this week and Call Your Shot Friday?
Sure, I would love to. So I'm doing a lot of NBA action because it is just one of the best times of the year. Okay, first, my Miami Heat. Bam Adebayo with a double-double, and they beat the Hawks by 15 points on the dot.
15 exactly. Mute for Robbie Stanley.
For Robbie.
That's because you said the Office Space thing.
Well, you've had like 12 this week.
And they sweep the series, but I don't think that's much of a shot. It's because they're already kind of there.
Okay.
But we'll add that. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine combined for 9 three-pointers.
Okay.
In tonight's game.
All right.
Sure.
The Bulls beat the Bucks in this series and move on.
Okay.
Joe? Right.
Yeah, let's laugh at that. I'm glad you picked that because I'm going to laugh and cackle when it doesn't happen.
Well, you know, Middleton's out. We don't know. Just got to wait and
true.
See. And then finally, the Preds beat Tampa in Tampa 4-0.
Wow. Shutout. All the goals were used by Tampa Bay. Michelle's big on shutouts.
You do not believe the Preds are giving up any goals, ever.
Ever. Ever. Listen, last week was a fluke.
Just a TD. Just a TD in one period.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
All right. Mikal Granlund will have a second straight game winner, this one in 3-on-3 instead of a shootout.
I like that.
Preds win 4-3 at Tampa.
Okay.
I got the T-Wolves bouncing back. We talked about this earlier with the Grizzlies. That's the type of game that can break a team. And it might, but I'm going to call – that's why I think this is a called shot. The T-Wolves are actually going to bounce back. Karl Anthony is going to have 25-plus, and this thing's going back to Memphis tied.
Okay.
We'll see. And the Warriors will see the Nuggets. That's not the shot. I mean, that wouldn't be shocking. But Otto Porter will score 15-plus in the clincher in Game 4.
Okay. I like that.
There you go.
All right. Very quickly, my called shots. The Miami Heat will take on the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. Miami Heat, Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals.
Ooh,
in which
saucy.
Joe Rexroad and I will throw things at each other from across the studio.
How fun would that be?
Philip Forsberg will overtake Matt Duchene in goals by the end of this weekend. So Philip Forsberg will be leading the Predators in goals by the end of this weekend. David Riddick will win his start this weekend. Not UC Soros. David Riddick wins his start this weekend, and the Grizzlies win by 15 or more tomorrow against Minnesota. I think Minnesota's done. I think the Grizzlies win by 15 or more. And finally, since this is the last Call Your Shot Friday edition before the Titans will make their first-round draft pick.
Good point.
Give me Zion Johnson, the selection.
That's a good point, Rob.
That is a good point. Now I wanted to get in on that, too. Okay. I'm going to say Titans draft... Well, we're calling shots, Desmond Ridder.
Ooh. And I'm going to say A.J. Brown is signed to a contract extension for, give him $24 million a year.
Okay.
How many years?
I don't know. Five?
Three or four.
Four.
I don't think it'd be five.
Okay.
And also, Pelicans beat the Suns.
She just keeps going.
In the series.
The shots keep getting called.
Yes, they do. She's like, Porth. By the way, quick side note before we get to the text line called shots. How about Vrabel yesterday being like, yeah, I don't have any inside knowledge on Zion Johnson. He just went to the same college my son went to and roomed with him. But other than that.
Well, then he's like, and then someone was like, they live together. He's like, yeah, they live together. And Tyler doesn't say anything. And Zion doesn't say anything. So they probably never talk. Or something, yes. Something like that. So.
Kyle on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, my called shot is that the Preds win both games this weekend and shut out one of the two teams. So Kyle's calling two wins for the Preds this weekend, and one of them is a shutout. Got another texture that says, called shot, A.J. Brown gets traded this week. A.J. Brown gets traded.
That is a shot. I figured someone would call that shot.
Yeah.
It's within the realm of possibility.
It's going to be interesting.
I don't think it's going to happen, but, I mean, it's at least, like, it's more discussable than it was when, you know, the Jets were just poking around trying to find someone.
So are you going to – is A.J. Brown a member of the team? By the time next Call Your Shot Friday rolls around, I'll throw it out there to you.
Yeah. And if I'd call the shot, and if not. It's not a shot to say he will be, but yeah.
No.
Yeah, he'll still be a member of the team, I think. Hey, we'll see what happens.
We will. Jeff on the text line says, have you guys seen the video footage supposedly showing Karl Anthony Towns kneeing Ja Morant on at least three separate occasions trying to hurt him? I've not seen that.
I have not. Where is that? Where is that?
Was Karl Anthony Towns spending more time trying to hurt Ja Morant last night than, you know, trying to shoot the ball?
Yeah, so it sounds like he did that more than shooting.
He shot four times last night. No, I haven't seen that.
We'll look it up.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Call Your Shot Friday, presented by Days Delta 8, the highest quality standard of Delta 8. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.